to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. Can you believe what our White House and our president's cabinet is saying? You know, Susan Rice, I don't know if you know about Susan Rice, but she was going to be the Secretary of State, but she didn't become Secretary of State because of video. No, because of Tripoli. No, not because of Tripoli, because of Libya. No, but not because of Libya, but because of what happened at our embassy in Libya. Do you remember that Christopher Stevens, that he was murdered and several protective officers were murdered in our embassy there, and Susan Rice comes on television and she gets all these different networks and she says that the reason why that Christopher Stevens, the ambassador to Libya, is dead. Libya, by the way, is where you just saw 21 Egyptian Christians beheaded on the shores of Tripoli, Libya. That's where that is. And she said the cause of it was a video that somebody put out. And she told everybody that. And she was in line to be the Secretary of State. But she didn't get it because they found out that she didn't tell the truth. That's the report. She did not tell the truth. Who actually wrote out things or whatever, but that's what the reports are. She didn't get it. So John Kerry got that position. So he was, I guess you would say, he may have been the second one in line. So Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be here in America, speaking to you, speaking to the Congress, and now she is the advisor to the president, and she's making a statement that this is not good for the prime minister to be able to come to America and speak to the Congress. It's like, what are you doing? Is this like the video thing? Are you doing something? As a matter of fact, take a look at this. You're not going to believe what you see or what you hear.
The relationship between Israel as a country and the United States as a country has always been bipartisan. And we've been fortunate that politics have not been injected into that relationship. What has happened over the last several weeks, by virtue of the invitation that was issued by the Speaker and the acceptance of it by Prime Minister Netanyahu on 2 weeks in advance of his election, is that on both sides there has now been injected a degree of partisanship, which is not only unfortunate, I think it's destructive of the fabric of the relationship, and it's something that...
It's destructive of the fabric of the relationship.
Well, Charlie, take my point. It's always been bipartisan. We need to keep it that way. We want it that way. I think Israel wants it that way. The American people want it that way. And when it becomes injected or infused with politics, that's a problem.
You think he's coming here because he wants to influence the election in Israel?
I'm not going to ascribe motives to the prime minister. I think let him say, explain for himself. But I think the point is we want the relationship between the United States and Israel to be unquestionably strong, immutable, regardless of political seasons in either country, regardless of which party may be in charge in either country. We've worked very hard to have that, and we will work very hard to maintain that.
No. America does not want what you want, Susan Rice. That is not true. We support Israel. We think Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is a wonderful leader. We think when he spoke at the United Nations, we remember the day we used to have presidents that stood up for their country too. It made us very excited. No, Susan Rice, this is not about a video, and this is not about what you're saying it is. It's actually a very good thing. It's a very timely thing. It might be the very thing that enables America to stand and not be destroyed. The fact that we're opening our arms and saying, Israel, we love you. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, come in. Speak to the People's Congress. We want you. And watch everybody stand up. And we're going to applaud Israel. And we're going to applaud Bibi. And we're going to say thank you for standing up for democracy. What you should be doing, Susan Rice. And that's what we are. We're a democracy. We're a republic. A government by the people and for the people. You know, as we heard on our earlier program, if it wasn't for the Jews helped finance Christopher Columbus being able to come to America. And then when we needed help in the Revolutionary War, when we decided we didn't want to be a colonized nation anymore, which we're going to talk about the Philippines in a little bit, we actually had needed some financing. Guess who financed us? What's the name of the
Hans Sullivan.
He actually financed our revolution. You know, to be able to be free like we are. We love Israel. We love Israel. As a matter of fact, 11 days after they decided to make a nation, 11 hours, I believe it is, we went right behind that with our President Truman, and we said, you know, not only we support this, but the strength of our military forces behind this signature. Hello, Susan Rice. Miss Rice, we stand for Israel. America stands for Israel. And you're going to watch Congress 11 minutes later, not 11 seconds, but you're going to find Congress. You're going to find Congress standing up and applauding. And I just pray, dear God, see us say yes to Israel. See us united. It's bipartisan support for Israel in America. That's what she should have been saying, not over in Israel. Israel's for Israel. Oh, come on. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. Anyway, I'm just kind of upset about this because remember, you got to go back and watch everything and remember this. And we had this on the VFN Torch for you. She was the one that went around with former Secretary of State. Well, she was Secretary of State then, Hillary Clinton. And they were going around saying with the president that the reason why our American citizen died in Libya was because of a video. A man made a video and it upset radical Islam. And that was the whole story. And I believe they even put the man in jail. But it wasn't about that at all. It was something totally different. We're seeing it today. The rise of a militant push of radical Islam being used, it looks like, to be able to organize the world. And we did that, you know, in regards to when we were discovering America and we had the Jewish support to be able to do it and the finances to be able to pay for the ship coming over from Christopher Columbus and the you know, Solomon's financial help during the American Revolution, that we didn't want to be colonized. We didn't want to be part of those colonization that was taking place. That's why they called it the American Revolution. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about the Philippines. Because we have to understand that what we didn't want ourselves, it looks like sometimes we went out and colonized other nations when we ourselves said we didn't want it. And now today, from some of the reports, there's abstract poverty in a big way in the Philippines. And we want to go back and look at Teddy Roosevelt, what happened during his presidency, and how did this all take place? And did we actually take over the Philippines for a season? More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The flames of romance can flicker with time. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. You know, that initial interest you had in your spouse early on, before you got married, might need to be rekindled. Here's Dr. Greg Smalley.
True romance has nothing to do with the cards and the flowers and this gooey feeling of love. That has nothing to do with it. Because you can take two people who aren't curious about each other, who aren't really interested in each other, put them in the most romantic spot on earth, nothing's going to happen. But you take two people who are fascinated, curious, intrigued with each other, really wanting to learn about each other, throw them on a middle of a Walmart parking lot, you know, in the middle, you know, of a cold, dreary night, sparks will fly.
The key to long-lasting romance and a strong marriage is to stay curious. And we have ideas for doing just that at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And colonization of the Philippines. Mm. I mean, you think about it, you know, as Americans, you know, you think about the Philippines today, you know, you may think of Imelda Marcos. Anybody has any history there that she had lots of shoes?
Lots of shoes.
And she was the president's wife?
I think she was the president, wasn't she?
We don't know. Anyway, tell us about, you had a family member that just went down, Arnell, right? Went to the Philippines. And what was his experience down there? Because I got something I want to share.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. You know, my brother-in-law, Arnell, he loves to travel the world. He's a minimalist, a great physical fitness trainer, and he gets a chance. His business provides him the opportunity to really travel the entire world. And on this trip to Southeast Asia, he went to several countries, one of them being the Philippines. And my wife was just sharing me a story that he had related to her, and I had to get on the phone and talk to her. And I said, you know, tell me more about this. But he had an opportunity to be amongst the people. That's what he really enjoys to do. And he's walking in the towns. And we may even have some images for you to see of his trip. And he had a chance to go into a store. And behind the store, he saw some people that were back there. And
it was like a Walmart?
No. This is just a little, you know, village type of store. And as he walked behind there, there was these alleyways. And
life is so different. We're so blessed in America, you know.
Completely different. So he's relaying this story about a little girl that he saw, Greg, with a plastic clear container, looked like just dirty, filthy water. And he's following to see where this young little girl is going and to talk to her parents. And he keeps following her and realizes that she's about to sit down and drink this filthy, dirty water. And he stops and says, no, don't drink it, you know. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? He tries to communicate with her. She says, yes. He starts talking to some of the people that were there. And he says, where are her parents? Where's her mother? And the lady responds and says, well, her mother was killed. She was a prostitute. And her father is not present. And so Arnell asks, well, how does she take care of herself? And she says, like most of these other kids, they're homeless. Like most of these other kids here that are homeless, they find a way to feed themselves. They find a way to take care of themselves. And many of them are kidnapped and sold into sex slavery. And he talked about how he was so overwhelmed with compassion and brokenness. He extended his trip into the Philippines. He wasn't going to stay that long. He wound up staying 29 days because he felt compelled to help and be a part and do something. And he's on this 100 tour, 100 Wonders of the World tour. He travels the world, and now he's made it his mission to be able to do what he can to help the sex trafficking victims in the world, those in the Philippines. And he ran into some missionaries that are doing some great work, and maybe we could talk about that more here in a minute. But he said that the poverty was on such a level that he just could not. He had no grit for it whatsoever. He was able to eat for an entire
day. This is today. We're not talking about 500 years ago. We're talking about right today.
He ate an entire day, all three meals, for about a dollar. And he said he was well-fed for a dollar. And it's basically changed his life forever.
Look at this. This is him when he's there. And as you see, he's obviously seeing the better areas of going on. So you have areas that are I guess,
more prosperous.
And then you have this poverty. Did you know what the large area was?
In terms of?
Of where he was at in regards to the store and where he saw this prostitute store.
I don't have the exact location of where he was at because he really toured the entire country. He said of all the countries that he'd been to in Southeast Asia, what he saw in the Philippines was the absolute worst in terms of homelessness amongst the children.
And he's been around.
And so these are firsthand occurrences, and one of the things he said was that he was trying to reach out to some of the young children to help them, and his family member was with him, told him, hey, you can't really do that here because people are really paranoid of these children being kidnapped and taking them away for sex trafficking. It's been happening a lot.
She's actually on the streets already with nobody looking over her. How?
Yeah. Well, it's horrible situation.
Well, they say that, you know, we talked about this in the Pink Room. You got to go back and watch that entire series or listen to it. VFNTV.com, but that the greatest number of if you had to pick a number a year that had the most slaves in it, is today. There's more slaves today than has ever been in the history of the world, and it's because of the globalization of the internet, having that ability to communicate around the world, and they are children as women and children as sex slaves, but also just as slaves in general, where people are buying them, and for the value. I wish I had that for you, but I think that you know, comparatively speaking, that it years ago, you would buy somebody, and it was, they said it is in China or Korea, I believe it is North Korea or Cambodia, and said that I believe it was like $10,000 or something at that time.
And today, a human life in this day, they said like $75. No, it was actually Billy. It was Franklin Graham with Samaritan's Purse, and he was the one saying that you know, years ago, if the dollar figure is like around $10,000, we'll make the exact stuff available to you on the VFN Torch, but today a human life is valued at $75.
Mm.
And so when you look at this globalization, you know, part of the globalization that's taking place is lots of evil is happening on a global scale. And but the Philippines, when you think about that and some of the pictures that you're seeing here behind us, it makes me think of President Theodore Roosevelt, Ted Roosevelt, who I believe he was the one that came up with the word or the concept of the White House as a bully pulpit. We've talked about that before. And a bully pulpit, you know, the bull moose party. He started like the bull moose party, I believe. So it was just like pushing things through, making things happen, pushing through the waterway that
Panama Canal.
The Panama Canal. He just kind of just, you know, if they didn't agree with us, we just kind of like mowed them down and just forced this waterway. And you just look differently at things. I don't know what they didn't have eyes to see. I don't know what the church was being taught at that time. If there were, you know, there's always two things going on at the same time. You have the church and God's folks are doing this, then you have people, the world's doing its thing at the same time, so you can't identify them as the same. And you have people that say they're the church, they're really not the church. They're doing things that are not of God, then it doesn't matter what they say they are. You're known by your fruit, not by what you say. And reports are according to, and I don't know if they've changed this or not, but this is we're going to be talking about the Office of Historian in the government. This is the Office of Historian. And on their site, they're talking about the Philippine-American War in 1899 and 1902, which started during this bully pulpit season of, which, by the way, his cousin is Eleanor, which was the wife of FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that was president during the Great Depression.
Mm.
You know, and for three and a half terms or something of that nature during World War II. And so this bully, and she, you know, she was actually compassionate. It looked like she wanted to start a lot of programs and helped a lot of people and did different things. I don't know. But you always ask ourselves, and we asked ourselves in the pink room, because the pink room, as we begin to talk about that and did some research, you know, why are they selling? The pink room was about this upper room inside this brothel that they would sell children, the virgin little girls, like 8-year-old girl, 6-year-old girl, today's time. They sell her for like $50 or $40 or something.
Mm.
So we could just say, oh, that's terrible. Or we could ask ourselves the question, okay, we know this is happening, it's atrocious, but how could a mother take her girl, her own girl, brush her hair, and send her off and sell her for a refrigerator or whatever like that? How could that happen? And when we traced the whole route to that, we found out that, wait a minute, her mother was part of the children during Pol Pot's tyrannical, communist, ungodly rule.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to say, why don't we want communism? Well, communism produced the pink room.
Yeah,
that's what it produced. Because when Pol Pot came over Cambodia and he began to take a rule, he killed all the wise people. He killed all the religious people. He killed all the doctors. You saw there was a movie years ago. It was called The Killing Fields. It was about him.
Mm.
And they just mass murdered all the people that were smarter than him, basically, you would think about it. And they put everybody out in the agricultural fields, the rice fields, because he thought that it should be an agricultural world. And we're going to go back to the way it was. And so then they grouped together all these kids and said, this is your family now. This is day one. God is dead. And so that's how the pink room got there, because these kids back then are the mothers of the children today who's selling them into the pink room. They had no values. They had nobody raise them up. They had no God in their own lives. They had no wisdom. They had no teachers. They had nothing. They were valueless. And so evangelizing and going there, as we talked about, as the missionaries are going there, they're teaching values. They're teaching kingdom values. And that's what changes the culture. That's what changes the people. And that's what prevents the pink room. So you had to trace that back. You couldn't just say how evil this is. Yes, it's evil, but how did that happen? So the question we want to ask ourselves when we get back from this break is, how did the Philippines get this way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's their problem?
Right.
You know, all these modern conveniences and
right.
all this technology, and after everything that we did for them, you know, so many people
it's say
in America.
Get there, right.
Right. And so, but according to reports here now, the Philippines, you know, you look at the things that we know about in our present history has happened since day one. I mean, there's always somebody trying to rule somebody. If you read history, it says this one took over that nation and they made them servants of them. They made them pay tribute and they just ruled them. That's what they did. That's what that happened again and again and again. Well, Spain ruled the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Spain ruled the Philippines for all the way up until, I believe, 1898. This particular says on this historian website for the government, they were defeated in the Spanish-American War in 1898, and Spain succeeded to their longtime rule to the United States at the Treaty of Paris. But on February the 4th, 1899, just 2 days before the United States Senate ratified the treaty, fighting broke out between American force and the Filipino nationalists, which led to this whole, what they call an uprising. But was America, was that an uprising against Great Britain?
Right. It's always amazing when another country does it, it's an uprising. When we do it, it's a revolution for
Can
our freedom.
Can you believe what George did?
Yeah.
Washington? Is that what you're talking about? And so they're thinking, they're calling it an uprising where the Filipinos, Filipino people are going like, we just got broke loose from colonization of Spain.
Yeah.
We don't want to be colonized by America.
Right.
Let's stay free. Now, America saw that, according to reports, as rebellion. And so this battle, this war begins now between America, where 20,000 Filipinos were died in combat and 200,000 died in disease. And 4,200 Americans died in this particular war. But the thing about it is, I mean, you're looking at a picture right now of Battle of Manila, you can see it right here, that in Manila Bay, that, my goodness, when you look at history, you think, you know, what were we thinking? Because if we just were fresh out of, you know, 1776, and it's like, what, 1899, mm-hmm. I mean, we got some, we're about 100, you could still remember what's going on. I mean, granted, they didn't have Google, and they couldn't Google what happened 100 years ago. But, you know, and of all the things that they did when they finally clamped down and they began to have this battle, I mean, they're saying their fear was this. This is what they say in this report here. In history, they had a fear that if they did not colonize it, if they didn't take it over, then they feared that the Germans or Spain would take it over. So the U.S. colonized it. They made a colonial rule over it, but they said, you know, but eventually, you know, we're going to be able to give them their freedom eventually. But thousands are dead, and it is like, should we have really messed with their government? I mean, you're hearing people today that are talking about this history, and the way they're talking about it is they want to destroy America or something, you know. But we can't deny, it's like somebody going, there's no such thing as dinosaurs. I am standing in the museum right now in Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian. I have some issues with that. I'm looking at this huge dinosaur, Tyrannosaurus Rex bones here. I mean, we got to talk about what really is, but then we got to say, you know, God, what is your perspective on it? You know, what is your perspective on it? And we got to ask the question, just like the pink room, did we have anything to do with where the Philippines are today? And can we as the church, as Christians, forget the government, as Christians, can we begin to do things like go into all the world and preach the kingdom of God and begin to watch people get blessed? The more we get back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen,
that's right.
The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
things concerned. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us. Yeah. So we can continue to be that trumpet. That
absolutely.
Call.
Absolutely. Partner, partner, partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's a ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com, and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on Him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to His very word.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and He's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, He made a roadmap. He made a way to Him, a bridge to Him. He loves you so much, and He wants you so much in His family. He wants to be your father that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find Him. Meet Him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. You know, so many people love to win. They say they actually say they're competitive. But the truth is, they're not competitive. They just really love to win.
Right.
Because competitive people are not happy because they had a competition and they lost.
No.
What it is, they want to be first. They want to beat somebody at something. In regards to, as Christians, we got to ask ourselves, you know, are we called to be competitive? Or what is the definition of winning? What is the definition of success?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to let the world define what that is. And, you know, are we supposed to be competitive? I mean, think about that. I'm not talking about, you know, the New Orleans Saints or anything, but I'm talking about.
You wouldn't put the word competitive in them together.
Not anymore. But I do like Drew Brees, and we do want you on the air. And
Benjamin Watson.
Yes, Benjamin. Oh, my goodness. We'd like to have you talk about your post and your viewpoints. So. And what the fear was in the Philippines when Spain lost, you know, the war to America, they had to give up their colonization of the Philippines, which it was free. But the panic came in when America started thinking, reportedly in history, that if we don't take the Philippines, who will? Mm. And if we don't take the Philippines, who's going to take the Philippines, right? And I mean, it's a fear factor. It's like, do we want to win, or we want to be? You hear people talking about today about being the head nation, and you know, the leader of everything,
superpower.
And, yeah, the superpower and all that. And it's like, well, that might be interesting for the world to do, but for us as the church, I mean, are we really want to be a world power? Is that what we want to do?
Hmm.
What do you think about that? Is that what we want? Or do we want to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow the Lord? I mean, think about that.
Mm.
So, I mean, people can do stuff, but if we look at history, and history says we were fearful and we were afraid, so we dominated the Filipino people and we took control over them, and what we did cost thousands of lives. As Christians, we got to really think, is that biblically, is that correct? Have we really done that? The little girl walking with the dirty water that we talked about earlier, whose mother was a prostitute, who is dead, and the father is an alcoholic, and he's saying, don't drink the water. And it's like, should we have said earlier, don't colonize the Philippines? Mm. You know, should we? I mean, it's amazing to me. And we always have to think about this because, you know, leadership type people, people that are type A people, that they just think they know how to do everything. Right. And you got to be able to pause and think about it. You're not God. America's not God. Your political party's not God. Your way of seeing things is not God. But God's way is right. His way, he is God. He's in total control. And we need to find out what he is saying. What is his viewpoint of these things? Because there is a kingdom that we're supposed to advance, but it's not the kingdoms of this world. Mm. It's the kingdom of God. And we do have a king. Yeah, it's King Jesus. He sits enthroned by an emerald rainbow. You're seeing so much horizontal concepts, you know, over the horizon. There's no vertical viewpoint anymore, it seems like, of things. And a vertical meaning this way versus this way. We already got this way right. If you walk with God, your kingdom, the kingdom of God is within you. You're already walking with God. You're already walking with him already. You have a king. Everything's cool. If you were to, and you will, that your life will end, the moment it ends here, you'll be present with him. So that's already figured out. The question is it the kingdoms of this world we're supposed to advance, or is it the kingdom of God we're supposed to advance? How many people are so into trying to advance America's kingdom, the concept of America? We want to democratize the world. Mm-hmm. We just want to help the Filipino people better understand democracy. And it's like, how come they're making our shirts today? I mean, why is one particular professor, you know, he's talking about globalism and this new book out that's called The Empire of Cotton for 5,000 Years, History of Cotton and How Things Happen. And he starts off his class by saying, okay, let's have everybody in the classroom, 30, 50 students, whatever it is, look at the shirt tag of the person next to you.
Wow.
And what you find, he says, inevitably, I believe it was like 28 or 30 different countries are represented in that room. Because they've made the shirts that the Americans wear on their backs. If democracy means you become a servant to us so we can have low-priced products at Walmart, now that might be a kingdom of the world viewpoint, and people can do all those things. But as Christians, we got to say, is it all right to enslave a people that produces an environment, an economy in the Philippines that causes this little girl's mother to end up selling herself into prostitution, a father to give up on life and become an alcoholic, and her to walk down the street with dirty water? I serve a God that says, this ain't good. Mm. Because he says, you know, it'll be just like this in the last days. It's going to be like an accountant. It's going to be like an audit. You know, our lives are going to be like an audit going mm-hmm. on. And this king, he's going to come, he's going to look at his subjects, and he's going to say, you know, he's going to divide us like sheep and goats. Mm. And the sheep's going to be on one side and the goats are going to be on the other side. I mean, a lot of people are going to be shocked to find out that they're goats. Mm-hmm. And these guys, he's talking about the shock and awe that was taking place. And he's telling us in advance that we can decide which side do we want to be on today. That's what's so cool about it. He's telling us that we already know the news. We're just trying to change the news in your life. Let you become a sheep and not a goat. And so you have goat nations and sheep nations. You have these different things going on. So what was the deciding factor? What determined? Because the people that were goats, that was divided on the goat side, they were going to go to hell. Hell's real. Hell's hot. Hell's forever. And that's where they were going to go. We know this in advance, so we can choose not to go to hell. We can choose that. And this is the deciding factor. This is what he said. He said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was in jail, you didn't come and visit me. You didn't pray for me. You weren't there for me. You didn't care about me. Hmm. And they say, the goats go this. They say, listen. And I love these people that move in pride. They want you to explain everything. And they're talking to God. They say, they're going to confront God. They're going to say, listen, you tell me where I missed you.
Hmm.
Don't you love those people? I'll tell you why I'm right. Instead, it's like, listen, just listen. Humble yourself and listen. This is what they're going to say to God. They're going to say, you tell me where I miss you, where I saw you thirsty, where I saw you hungry. You know, that's what they're going to do. And he's going to say, whatever you did to this little girl in the Philippines, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, or whatever you didn't do to this girl in the Philippines, whatever you didn't do, you know, one half of the world's population right now is living on $2.50 a day. And we're worried, the richest nation in the world, is worried about capitalism and worried about economies. It's like we have to fall a long ways to get to $2.50 a day. While this little girl's walking the streets, and he goes, this is what he's going to say. He's going to say, whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me. Away from me, you evildoer. So an evildoer is someone that only does for themselves. Hmm. An evildoer is not necessarily someone who goes around beating on folks and all that. He could define an evildoer as someone who only does for themselves, who doesn't look for God, who doesn't understand that men are created in the image and the likeness of God. And it's real hard to do. When you're in America right now, it's such a idolatrous environment. It's so eye-focused. I mean, you think about it. We even have products called eye. And it's like, you know, when you think about this, you're thinking, my goodness, how do we get to this particular girl and help her out? And if you do help her out, if you do help out those in need, and realize in America, our poorest people in America, our poorest is richer than 70% approximately of the world's entire population. In other words, just like John was saying, that his brother-in-law was able to eat an entire day's meal for a dollar. So imagine what you could do with that Starbucks money. Mm. Imagine what you could do given a few dollars. Imagine what you would do if you decided to say, I am going to partner with VFN TV so we can be a force to be reckoned with. So when Jesus comes back, we would be like a sheep. When he says, whenever I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Whenever I was hungry, you fed me. Whenever I was being oppressed, you made sure that everybody knew about it through VFN TV's daily program so they could know and respond. You were proactive. You were there. And he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. It matters. We're only 4% of the world's population. There's somebody's making that shirt at Walmart. Somebody's doing it. We've got to begin to really ponder this. Yes, there is the kingdoms of this world. That was what was offered to Jesus. Jesus was told by Lucifer when he was tempted in Luke chapter 4. He said, listen, he said, if you bow down to me, if you worship me, he says, these kingdoms, they were given to me, and I'll give them to you if you worship me. Jesus didn't say you're a liar, Satan. Hmm. He said, I'm not going to do it. What does that mean? That means when Adam fell, everybody fell. At that point, things were turned over to darkness, and it's light. The light of Jesus came into the world, and when the king came into the world, King Jesus. Remember, he's a king that was born. That's when the kingdom of God came. And so the kingdom we should be focusing on is the kingdom that's within every believer. Mm-hmm. And we're to advance the kingdom of God and to go into all the world to preach this awesome reality of the kingdom of God. The hope for the Philippines and the hope for America is the same hope, which is the kingdom of God. There is an answer, and the answer is Jesus Christ and an awakened church. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
First, I want to say, you know, John, how you did a wonderful job hosting you and Pat. I appreciate what you guys did. I was so encouraged by hearing, you know, in my time away, I'm listening, you know, to the encouraging words that are shared and oh my goodness. There's so many important things, you know, shared on VFN radio. You know, you hear so many, I mean, I don't know. I guess God just turned the whole media thing over to the adversaries. It's like, you know, no, they turned it over to like, I think, Romper Room or something. It's like, are you guys serious? I mean, come on.
Real.
Do you all know how ignorant this sounds? It was just, there's this one, you know, years ago, there was this minister years ago on radio, and a friend of mine tells me about him. He says, real country minister, you know, and he said, you know, when I first started ministry years and years ago, he says, I thought I was ignorant. But since then, after I've been in the Lord for a while, I just feel ignorant
Ignorer.
I'm telling you, that's pretty profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to know some stuff. And I used to fight for a lot of things, but now, I mean, I don't fight for too much, but the things I do fight for, I will die for. But, you know, I had to got to work it out. You know, pick your leg up, put it back on. We're going to make it. It's going to happen.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You're looking right now at the picture of Teddy Roosevelt, the one who said, you know, this is a bully pulpit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The presidency. And since then, it's been kind of, this is where you get your, you know, bully pulpit, right? And we talked about earlier, you know, and well, you know, we've been talking for quite some time about this, but don't, you know, this is, I don't know if you, he used to be the mayor of New York, maybe, or the mayor.
Giuliani?
No, he used to be the chief of police mayor of Roosevelt. But you're looking, he's the one that's carved into the mountain in Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of the ones that's there. But not only was his face carved into Mount Rushmore, but his presidency was carved all the way through that waterway, which is the Panama Canal. And there's some pretty interesting history in that. And we're finding out in the Philippines that, you know, we just took it and I guess you would say try to reboot it over a period of time and thousands of Filipinos. And it's like, did our reboot work, you know, and the suffrage that's going on there. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear right now about this missionary, right? This right there.
Yeah. I now had the chance to meet a missionary who's actually working with sex traffic victims with a ministry called Wipe Every Tear. And I want you just to show you a little bit about what they do. Watch this.
What you're doing?
I'm packing my things.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the Hope House.
Why are you choosing tonight to pack your things and come to the Hope House?
Because I'm ready for a new life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm helping my sister come home.
Yeah.
Dad said it was time for his girls to come back home, for his daughters, and that's what we're doing. It's all about kingdom. This is what kingdom's about. It's so amazing.
Feeling you. Oh, I'm not scared. I'm excited. Just all the excitement. Something wonderful is about to happen.
Amen.
And it's actually happening.
Right now.
Right now.
It's
here.
Hi!
so what it's all about.
Yes.
You know, despite what Teddy Roosevelt did, what America did at that particular time, you know, this is what the church is supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. America is not the church, and the church is not America. America is a Christian nation. It's built on Judeo-Christian values, but the church is the church. The mm-hmm. church is the body of Christ. And no matter what government there is, because it's a global church, we have more believers probably in, definitely in China and India put together than anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bigger part of the church is in that area. So you're looking at, that's the kingdom. When she's talking about this is the kingdom of God and that daddy wanted her home, her father wanted her home, that's Father God, Father of us all. He said, when you pray, pray our Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. The answer is not a political answer. The answer is for you to say, you know what, God? You know what? Here I am. I don't know how much life you've given me between now and the time I'm going to be with you fully forever, but I want to spend the rest of it in your business. I want to be in the Father's business. Mm. I don't care if I'm going to be in the business part of culture. I'm going to do that for you as unto the Lord, and I'm going to believe for millions of dollars so I can sow millions of dollars into your kingdom because I'm going to be in heaven with quadrillions of dollars worth of value of gold. Money's not the issue. It's what I can do with it now. If it's in arts and entertainment, I'm going to pray, dear God, you know, help me use my gift in that arts and entertainment aspect of culture. If it's media, if it's education, if it's family, if it's I'm called to be a pastor, I just want to spend the rest of my life rescuing people as brands from the fire. You know what I'm saying? Just rescuing people because that's what matters. You know, that's the sheep versus the goat.
Yeah.
And whatever we're not doing, whatever you have not done for someone this week, you have not done for God. Whatever you have not done for someone this month, you have not done for God. Whatever you've not done for someone this last year, you have not done for God. I mean, we've got to change our mindsets because so many people, I remember somebody posted once on one of our things, and we have all the social Facebooks and all that kind of stuff, and somebody, they posted a thing about politics or something. They said, this is God's party. It's like, you know, what are you talking about? You were so integrated in your culture that you believe that God's become your culture.
Mm.
But God's above all this. I mean, even Lucifer offered God, Jesus, the kingdoms of this world. He wasn't going like, oh, we got to have a kingdom here. I mean, we got to have a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He understood that he was king and he had a kingdom and it was the Father's kingdom and he was to advance that kingdom. He says, some people are going to tell you that the kingdom's over there. Or to your left, it's over there. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. Don't fall for that. Don't go out there. Don't buy into that political persuasion. He said, for the kingdom of God is within you. God dwells inside of believers. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to go and advance his kingdom. That's what we're called to do. We're called to go out there and make a difference. And I'll tell you now, we have people right now in Haiti that are saying, will you stand with us? I believe 50% of the population there is like 17 years old and under. We could say that's terrible. Or we could say, how did they get there?
Mm-hmm.
Did it have anything to do with the Louisiana Purchase? Did it have anything to do with the global empire of cotton? Did it have to do with the textile ministries in Great Britain? Did it have anything to do with capitalism? I mean, you know, we can ask ourselves all these questions. It's like, let's just go in there and rescue these guys. You know, bad things happen to human beings because Lucifer hates you because you're made in the image and the likeness of God. But God loves you. God will rescue you. God will heal you. God is for you. But right now, we need you to stand with us. We have so much we want to do in the kingdom of God, but we need you to stand up and partner with us. We're having to say to Haiti right now, just a minute. Give us a moment. You know, we got to get some things together. And what we really need, you, our audience, to say, you know what? Together we can do this thing. And you know what? You'll have the cameras going there of VFN TV and our embedded reporters letting you know how you are making a difference. We have great vision, kingdom vision for that to take place, but we first have to get the church out of the kingdoms of this world and say, you know what? I'm ready to advance the kingdom of God. And you can do that becoming a partner. Partner financially every single month. We got a lot of great stuff for you, but listen, you're an American. You don't need that much if you're an American, right? You're already the richest person in the world.
That's right.
We got some stuff just to say thank you, lots of stuff to say thank you. we feel very, we think you're very special when you partner, because you say, I want to go help these people. I want to be able to advance the kingdom. I want to speak truth at a time that very little truth is spoken. You know, I want to be able to be a firebrand of hope in the midst of great deception. And God has given us that opportunity. And just so you know, I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know how long it's going to last, but this is your opportunity today. And you have to seize the opportunity and the lifetime of the opportunity. Listen, there's plenty of people that would love to shut down the First Amendment. They would love to shut down the freedom of press. They would love to shut down, you know, with net neutrality and control all media through that net neutrality that we talked about. But today, are you going to be a sheep today, right?
That's
are you
right.
going to make a decision today? It's what we do today during the opportunity. And I would encourage you, go to VFNTV.com, click on partner, say, you know what, I want a partner every single month. I want to be a part of this. There is hope. New leadership is coming. Great hope is coming to the world, and I can be a part of it by partnering with VFNTV. Why? It's not enough to know the truth. You need to know what to do with the truth that you know. And we already know the news. We're just trying to change it. God is telling us what's coming if we don't change. And we say, dear Lord, I pray that it would change. Let's just pray. John, would you lead us in prayer for our audience?
Lord, we just thank you, God, for this opportunity, okay. Lord, for what you're doing on the face of the earth, Lord. We thank you that we, God, can stand together in unity, Lord, for your kingdom. Father, we pray that no matter what people try to do in this world to control outcomes and to control people, we thank you, Lord, that heaven is your throne, the earth is your footstool, and you are still in control. Yes. We ask you to touch all the people in the nations of the world, including those in the Philippines, God,
yes,
those
Haiti.
In Haiti.
Yes.
And Lord, help those that are suffering, those that are hungry, those that are in bondage and slavery. And we say, Lord, let your light shine in the midst of darkness, yes, and bring hope to a people that need you. We say, Lord, move powerfully in your precious name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.